The reading is from Psalm 97, verses 1 to 12. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad. Because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's gospel is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A brief prayer as we remain standing. Heavenly Father, we praise you that your word is light to our eyes. May it be so for us this morning as you work in us by your Holy Spirit, for your name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Please do sit down. I wonder how you find the cold and the dark days of winter. For me, every year, it takes me quite a while to adjust to the darkness descending earlier and the weather turning colder. And there's much cause of darkness this year, isn't there? Because not only is there the wintry darkness that we've descended into as we approach Christmas, but we've come through a dark year. A year not only of COVID and of all of the struggles that have come with that, but a year also where some of the world's problems have been highlighted, perhaps in an even starker way than for many years. We've had issues of race equality brought to the surface, many focusing on the worrying state of the environment. And we've had the lockdown exacerbating problems of family breakdown, mental illness and unemployment. So in the midst of all the darkness of this year, perhaps it's no wonder that in Wargrave, I've noticed people's Christmas lights going up earlier and in greater number than I'd noticed in previous years. Even though the restrictions will dampen our Christmas festivities to some extent this year, Christmas is still something that people are really looking forward to, something that people are hoping for. I think C.S. Lewis captured something of this in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when he described Narnia, a place where things weren't as they should be, as a place which was like winter, but never Christmas. It shows something of how we do look for Christmas in the middle of our dark winter, for hope, for light. And John, the writer of this gospel, says we are right to do so. As John introduces us to the person of Jesus and thinks about Jesus coming to earth, he wants us to see Christmas as a time of great hope. We're going to look at that in these verses in two sections. First of all, in verses 1 to 3, we're going to see the theme of creation. And then in verses 4 to 9, the theme of recreation. So first of all, his opening words. In the beginning was the Word. Now, the resonance there with the start of the Bible is no accident. In fact, in John's day, people would have known that first book of the Bible by those words. It would have simply been called in the beginning. It wasn't known as Genesis. It was the Hebrew words Bereshit, which simply means in the beginning. So as soon as John says those words, he wants his readers' minds to be cast back to the beginning of Scripture, to the beginning of all time. Like any good story, it starts at the beginning. And we're introduced to the slightly mysterious character of the Word. Before John makes clear that the Word is Jesus, he first wants us to contemplate the eternal Word, the one who was there at the beginning, the one who was there with God as a partner, and the one actually who was himself God, verse 1. And then stated again in verse 2 for emphasis, he was with God in the beginning. They are Father and Son, but it's not the case that Father came first and then Son. No, they are co-eternal, co-existing at the beginning, both equally God. And actually, if you read Genesis, we see the Spirit hovering over the waters as well. All three persons of the Trinity at work together, eternal, and bringing creation into existence. But here John's focus is on the Lord Jesus. Through him, verse 3, all things were made. I wonder how much we think of Jesus as the creator. It's easy to think of him as the frail, finite being in the manger. But John is saying he's the eternal God. I need to understand both his humanity and his divinity. C.S. Lewis again, there's a lovely section in The Magician's Nephew where the children glimpse something of Jesus bringing creation into existence. They are in a dark place where there's no sound and no wind and no light. And then they hear this beautiful song, the most beautiful song they'd ever heard. And in the distance, they see its source. It is Aslan, the Jesus figure, singing creation into existence. And as he sings, brilliant colour and life spread out from him and flow through this beautiful valley, bringing it to life. It's a lovely picture of how the Lord Jesus himself sang or spoke creation into existence. And John doesn't just tell us that because he finds it interesting. No, he tells us that because he wants to introduce Jesus as the one in whom there is this creative, powerful, life-giving ability that was used at the beginning of time, as through him all things were made. But then as he steps into our world, that same life-giving power is unleashed in him and through him. And that's the theme of recreation. So once John has established the fact that Jesus is God, one of the persons of the Trinity through whom all things are created, he now wants us to see that as he steps into the world that he created, in him is life. In him is light. In him is all the ingredients that bring life to bear on our world. And as in Genesis, he comes into a dark place. So we see back in Genesis the description of an empty, formless void, a dark void into which creation comes. And here the starting point is darkness too, a dark world. We've already thought about that in our music so far and in our collect, that the world that Jesus steps into, just like the world of today, is a dark place for many reasons, and one of the reasons is our rebellion against our Creator. The sin in the world, the sin in our hearts. Darkness. And Jesus steps into that darkness with light and life. It's a wonderful thing to contemplate, and John is excited to tell us that that is what Jesus has come to do. Perhaps you've heard the phrase born again Christian. Maybe you've heard it used negatively or positively, perhaps. Well, it's one of the big themes in John's Gospel. It's perhaps most evident in chapter 3 when Nicodemus, a religious man, comes to Jesus and Jesus looks him in the eye and says, "You must be born again." It's a shocking thing for Jesus to say to Nicodemus, a respected Jewish leader. But Jesus is saying, you need to be recreated. You need to accept the life and the light that I bring to be born again. Just as Jesus brought physical realities to bear at the beginning of time, he brings spiritual realities to bear as he comes to earth. And as he does that in the spiritual realm, it's tangible to us. We can see his life-bringing work. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. Light is exposing. It can be uncomfortable at times, can't it? Sometimes we want to hide in the dark. We want to draw the curtains. We want the secrecy to hide the ugly parts of ourselves. But the light will shine into those dark corners and show us what's there. Just as this year, issues that needed to be addressed have been brought to the surface and exposed into the light, God is always at work to expose things that need to be dealt with. The light shines in the darkness. And if we're willing to come into the light, he will show us what we need to see. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John is clear that light and dark are not two equal powers fighting against each other, and we don't know which one is going to end up on top. No, just in the way that if you were to take a torch and walk into a dark corridor, you would be able to chase away the darkness, the light is not overcome by the darkness. Jesus comes as the light and can chase away the darkness. That is a wonderful thing for us to cling on to at Christmas. The light will ultimately be victorious. It can break through the deepest darkness. And we need to remember that the world's darkness, the world's greatest problem, is a spiritual one. And so we do need a spiritual solution. Jesus is the light that chases away that darkness. So we've all got to ask ourselves, is that really where we're pinning our hopes? Are we hedging our bets in this life? Or are we really seeing Jesus as the much needed light of the world, the one to deal with our darkness? Would those who know us well say of us that it is evident that our hope lies in Jesus? Is that what our lives are centered around? Maybe every time we see Christmas light shining in the darkness this year, it's an opportunity for us to pause and to reflect. A moment of praise for the light that stepped into darkness. A moment of trust that Jesus really is the light that we need. A moment of prayer as we recommit ourselves to trusting in him as the light. In a moment, I'm going to lead us in a short prayer, and then we're going to see a clip from Yeldon Manor, which is beautiful. A clip of cardboard testimonies. Men there in rehabilitation, Christian rehabilitation, who on one side of a piece of cardboard say what their old life was like. And then they turn over the cardboard to show us what their new life in Christ is like. It highlights much of the truth of this passage in a very beautiful way. But first, let's pray briefly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, the eternal Word. We thank you that we've been reminded that through him all things were created, and that same powerful life-giving ability is brought to bear on this dark world as spiritual realities, rebirth, happen. Please, Lord, help us to pin our hopes in him, to trust him for that recreating work. And may others see in us that our hopes really are founded on him. May we shine as his followers, as we reflect his light in the darkness this Christmas. For your name's sake, amen.